Hi, this is your friend, Manuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my amazing friend, welcome to the Miracle Cafe. Today's theme is all about becoming limitless. We have a wonderful guest who will share some great insights on the subject. Right now, I'd like to set the intention that everyone tuning in receive exactly what will serve them for the highest and greatest good. If you agree, just affirm out loud, and so it is. So we are going to jump right into our Hot Topics. The Hot Topics is a roundtable created with the intention of having a timely discussion on current events and all things that are present in the collective at this time. Our panelists will share their own unique perspectives with the intention of providing you with insight and wisdom for creating miracles in your life. So the Miracle Cafe is excitedly ready to welcome our guests today. We first have Amy Schuber, who is an amazing life and business coach. She works with men, women, and teens, and she's been helping many people around the world for quite a few years. And our second guest is my amazing friend, David Matthew Brown, and he is a leading edge, thought-provoking, inspirational speaker, author, and healer. And I know he's going to share at the end the book that he has. He's going to share a little bit about that with you. So welcome, guys. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
So excited. Let's just jump right into it. To those who feel disappointed after the 2012 phenomenon, that whole thing that happened, that the world didn't end or it didn't change or whatever expectations that they had on it, what thoughts or insights can you share with them? David, take it away.
Well, the first thing that pops into my heart is to accept what you're feeling about it and look at those feelings and look at the disappointment that you're having about it not being this event. It's kind of like people have when they want to wake up and they think about enlightenment. They have this concept in their mind of what happens, and none of it doesn't really unfold that way. And the same is true about the consciousness, which is expanding now, which we are into, which is going to last for the next 25 years until it's fully complete. So it's such a great invitation for us to rest in where we're at. And what I really feel like this whole thing was about for us is the acceptance of right now, to just fully accept the feelings that are coming up within you, the energy that's moving, frustration, anger, upset, happiness, joy, whatever it may be, and to look at what it was that the person that's asking the question was expecting to happen. And I guarantee you, as they begin to look at that within themselves, they'll be able to see that behind that, a light is waiting to shine through them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And just think about, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, to now, just energetically check in, those listening, those even, you guys, just have you noticed how much things have changed just as far as globally and internally and in every area of our lives? Have you noticed things have really shifted?
Yeah.
So,
look
a lot of...
look at this show. You have a show called Hot Topics, which Amy and I are proud to be a part of with you. And if you would have brought this show on maybe 10 years ago, I don't know if people would have tuned in.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. And it's just, starting to get into mainstream and everything. So just like you said, David, 25 years, and then beyond, just as it really takes time to be anchored into our consciousness even more. And Amy, do you have anything you want to share about that subject?
Absolutely. I mean, it's that overnight success thing. People think, oh, you're an overnight success, but they don't know the 10 years or beyond that took you to get here. It's that same thing. It's like you think something's going to happen on a certain date, and bam, everything is going to change. Well, we're not in the movies, And I think, wow, things are rapidly changing right now, and I feel something accelerating, absolutely. But in order to feel that, you have to tune in and notice and be present and be grounded to recognize the change. I mean, it could be very little. It could be just a little tiny vibrational jump, you know? Or, you know, it could be anything little, but it's being in tune to it and recognizing it and welcoming it, because it's happening right now, and it is rapidly happening. And I feel it, even just this connection with you two here, even when we were, you know, previously in our partnership on our previous show, Emmanuel, you know, even since then, I feel like, wow, things have changed and expanded, and thoughtful conversations are more out there. And just knowing that and having that, it's crazy. But I think it's about grounding and noticing, because you can even say, well, nothing's happened since December, really. But wow, has it happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I love how you simplified it, you know, for those who were not understanding why it's not showing up. That whole overnight success thing just really struck a chord within me and really simplified it. You know, we've been working, you know, you get a singer or, you know, someone who becomes a doctor. They don't become a doctor overnight. They spend years learning and studying and fine-tuning their craft so that they can become what they become. So that is such an amazing insight. And so, Amy, I know, you know, let's jump right into the next question. To those who tend to be the rock for those around them, who've kind of set themselves up to be the rock, and are not really receiving that kind of support back in their life, and they would really like to, what ideas or wisdom or piece of advice would you give to them?
Wow, that's such a good question. Be your own rock is what I would say. And it resonates with me right now, because I'm going through some, you know, regrounding myself with some relationships and situations. Be your own rock. Love yourself first. Create your own self-care plan. Be there for yourself first, because when you are the rock for everybody else and everyone comes to you, you get so depleted energetically. Even if you're aware of it, it happens. And you've got to have a self-awareness that, you know, yes, you can be that for other people, but you've got also got to protect yourself and be there for yourself first. And it's not usual for us to be selfish first, but we have to. You know, we have to take care of ourselves first. In order for us to take care of others, we have to be fully whole, fully grounded, fully present, and connected and in tune. Otherwise, we're no good for anybody, at least of all ourselves, you know. So I think we also have to notice when we become our own rock and when we are grounded, notice those who might be depleting your energy on a regular basis, and maybe there's room for space between you, and you can let go of some of those relationships or give distance to those people, so you can have the, you know, the strength and your fullness fully all the time. Because, you know, there are certain people that just tapped into, and it resonates with me, the work I do, and, you know, it's a practice. It's always a practice to put yourself first and be your own rock, but you've got to.
And it's not something that has been taught to us since children or in school, so we really have to teach it to ourselves. Beautiful, beautiful perspective. And David, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, just tail off in what Amy said. The other thing that I want to just look at really briefly with that is, yes, we do. We are in the place of being a service, and as light workers, we are helping people discover what is already there within them, and doing all kinds of work. And sometimes what we forget to do is we forget to ask for help, or we forget to ask because we believe that we have all the answers. We believe that we should, or we kind of should on ourselves, right? That we should know what to do, that we have all these tools, and we should be able to handle everything. Well, frankly, you know, when I went through my divorce, I had all the tools to deal with it. But what I really needed more than anything was I just needed some people around me that just wanted to listen. And just wanted to listen, and that was enough, and maybe give me a hug and say, hey, Dave, you're still okay. Or someone that I can go to and just ask for help. So when someone is going through that, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay not to be perfect all the time. Right? Mm-hmm. It's okay not to try to live up to some identity because of the job that you do, because we're not our job. And the work in which I do, my first thing that I identify with is consciousness. So I do that through meditation or prayer or different ways to just stay in touch with consciousness itself, mm-hmm. and try to let go of what I need to let go. And sometimes that's just, I need a little bit more. I need something in the physical, like, you know, call my friends up. Like I call Emmanuel up and say, hey, do you have any suggestions on this? And Emmanuel may just mm-hmm. say, David, go within. or might say, yeah, well, you might want to look at this. You know, so mm-hmm. it's good to ask for help, even though we are helping people.
Yeah. And we tend to forget, like you said, sometimes, because we're always like, you know, it's like I call it the superhero syndrome, where you're kind of just, you know, here, you know, I'm here and I'm here to save the day. And then all of a sudden, you know, you sort of get depleted. You're like, wait, where's, you know, my support? And asking is sometimes all we need to do. So much insight and so much revelations in these short few minutes that we've spent together. David, where can we learn about you? And I know you have an amazing book that just came out. Where can we learn about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my website is davidmatthewbrown.com. And you can actually, my book is called The Book of Light, A Heart Opening. It could be found on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Some Barnes & Nobles are starting to carry it because a lot more people are buying it.
Good.
And it's great. The book's got a great intro by Emmanuel himself, which is phenomenal. It's only 56 pages. It's a meditative, contemplative experience. Mm. It's just a great little place to turn to when you're in need of some sort of insight to kind of keep you going on your path.
Love it. Love it. And you can check that out, those listening, on Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com. And Amy, where can we learn about you?
You can always find more information about me and what I'm up to at amyschuber.com. And Emmanuel, thank you so much for including me in this amazing conversation of topics. It's brilliant.
Of course. And Schuber, let's just make sure we get that spelled correctly. So it's S-C-H-U-B-E-R, correct?
Yep.
So amyschuber.com. Well, thank you both for being here, and I can't wait until our next show together. And for those listening, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we have an amazing guest for you. Stay tuned.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Excited to connect with our special guest for today. As an educator and a speaker for 14 years, Kim Mitchell currently thinks of herself as a Renaissance woman. She travels and speaks internationally, sings, and inspires people all over the world. Kim, my sister, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you. Yay!
so happy to be with you, too. So today's theme, the topic, is all about becoming limitless. I know I watched an amazing TEDx video of you, and it was just so amazing and so inspiring, and I wanted to have you continue on that subject. So the first thing is, what does becoming limitless mean to you?
Man, when I think of being limitless, I just think of being able to do whatever my imagination can conjure. You know, because our logical brain can't see all these possibilities that are out there, but our imagination, that childlike part of us that saw big possibilities when we were young, tapping into that and being able to create whatever we can imagine, to me is such a powerful way to live, to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So now, to those, especially in our society, in the Western societies, where as we grow and we're told that, you know, using our imagination is silly, it's childlike, but when we were children, we were encouraged to use it. What would you say to someone who has sort of created this perspective that using the imagination is sort of a waste of time?
Well, if, you know, the brain, the logic side of the brain, the left hemisphere, is what starts to tell us that it doesn't make sense to imagine. You know, and the right brain is where we have our creativity, where we do imagine those things. So what I would say to someone is I would go with the logic, and I would just say, you know, look around you. Every single mm-hmm. thing you see began with a thought, an idea. Before that chair was made, somebody envisioned a chair and what it would look like. And mm-hmm. from that imagination came something concrete, something that mm-hmm. you can sit in and see and touch. So just getting that tapped into that idea, that notion that before something's created, it's thought about, it's imagined, and then it mm-hmm. just comes to be. So us believing in our imagination is no different from that. You know, imagination mm-hmm. is not just airy-fairy and unreal. It's real. Mm-hmm. We can see it. It's proven. We can look around the room we're in right now and see it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. It's like, yeah, look around you. Where did that
and
stuff come from?
I know. And what I love that you said, it just really hit it home for me, was that the right brain is all about, you know, imagination. Mm-hmm. So if we were not using our imagination, then we're basically saying, okay, well, screw the right brain, right?
And we only use about 10% of our brain capacity as it is. So can you imagine if we then only use the left brain on mm-hmm. top of that? That's pretty mm-hmm. sad, actually. So we need imagination. We need creativity. That's what fuels humankind, being able to mm-hmm. imagine stuff that hasn't happened yet. You know, Martin Luther King did that. Gandhi did that.
Absolutely.
All of them, all our luminaries had that ability.
Right. And even in inventors, mm-hmm. Bill Gates and all those people who are able to create things that we use and we sort of take for granted now,
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay, so can you share an example in your life where you personally transcended the barriers and became limitless?
I think, you know, when I think about my life and I think back to the TEDx talk that you mentioned earlier, one of the things that I learned pretty young is that people have a limited perception of what your abilities are and what you can do. And I always saw myself as being a victor and not a victim. So when somebody would say to me, you know, it's not possible to do that, or you can't do that because you're black, or you can't do that because you come from the inner city, or you only have one parent, or whatever the reason was, I just never believed it. I had a core belief that I could do amazing things. I knew who I mm-hmm. was in my heart, that I could mm-hmm. do amazing things. So one of the things I can point to specifically is in my college application process, and just having people tell me how difficult and challenging it was for me to be accepted into the colleges that I was applying to, given, you know, my background, given, you know, the challenge and the competitiveness. And I just always believed that I was really destined for really great things, and I believed that more than I believed something anyone told me. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it came from my mom just really instilling in me that whatever I believe I could do, I would do. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was a very trusting, gullible kid. Whatever my mom told me, whether it was true or not true, I mm-hmm. would believe it. And so when she told me that it was possible for me to be limitless, I just grew up always believing that. So when it came time to apply for college and people said, oh, it's really challenging to get into that school, you probably won't get in, I applied anyway and believed that it was possible for me to really transcend the barriers, and I did. I was accepted.
Yay.
And then, you know, from there, every step of the way, people would tell me, it's going to be hard for you. So then I got in, and then people said, oh, well, academically, it's going to be really hard. You're going to really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I had all the wherewithal within me to not only mm-hmm. be accepted to the school, but to actually thrive and actually do very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short, I graduated from Stanford University, and in spite of being from a single-parent household, being from the inner city, you know, being black, being whatever limitations people thought about me, I was still able to do it. And I'm always mm-hmm. going to be very happy and proud and grateful that I was able
mm-hmm.
to do that.
That is just such an amazing story, and it really inspires me, and I'm sure those listening right now, to really believe in themselves and really allow themselves to become limitless. Would you say that those points in your life served as reference points, as anchor points to lift you up even more into the knowing that you are limitless?
I do believe that focusing on ways in which we have done things that seemed impossible and looking back and saying, wow, look what I was able to do, look how the universe supported me, definitely
mm-hmm.
fuels our ability to be limitless in the future, because you know, once you've done it once, you can do it again. You know, when
mm-hmm.
I was very young, I wanted to lose weight, and I lost 67 pounds. So now when I look at myself and go, oh, I'm 10 pounds overweight, I got to lose some weight, I always remember that. That's like my anchor point. I remember, I've already done this. I've lost 67 pounds. If I can do that and break through that barrier, then I can
mm-hmm.
break through this barrier too. And so that does fuel me, you know, in the future.
Mm. And those anchor points are so important because, you know, a lot of times when we, let's say, get caught up in work and we forget to have fun and enjoy ourselves, we need to go back to that remembering of, oh, that's what fun felt like, because sometimes lots of time goes by and we don't really, it's not very accessible.
Yes.
So using those anchor points really help to create that memory so that we can regenerate that feeling again, right?
Absolutely. And we do need those reminders, because sometimes we just get so inundated, like you said, with the day-to-day living that we forget what's possible and that we are miracles and that miraculousness happens. We forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're responsible to each other and to ourselves to remember, to give us opportunities to remember.
Mm. Amazing. And so the next question that I want to ask you, it's kind of important, and a lot of people may be experiencing this. A big part of becoming limitless is really what I've noticed is letting go of lack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So those listening right now who may still be really involved or really buying into that lack mentality,
mm-hmm.
what words of wisdom would you share with them?
I would tell them what was told to me when I had the opportunity to travel to China And I had a thing about it. Just about, you know, it'd never been on my agenda to go, and an opportunity came up to go, and I had a little fear around it. You know, you're traveling to a foreign country, nobody looks like you, and it was just something that I had a fear around, and I expressed that to someone that was kind of coaching me in life. And what he said was, feel the fear and do it anyway. See your fear around this issue like a little child. What would you do if it was a little child? You would hold its hand, you would talk it through, and you would have it face up to its fear and do it anyway. You know, you would treat yourself or the child very gently, but you would not have them equate fear with something that stops you. And that's what most of us do. We think if we're afraid to do something that that's a reason to stop. But we can simply feel the fear and do it anyway. That's possible. And so that's what I like to share with people, because when that advice was given to me, it was like a huge aha moment, because something in my psychology used to say, well, if you're afraid of something, then you shouldn't do it. That's just absolutely not the truth. You know, courageous people are not people that are fearless. They're people who have a fear, but they overcome it, and they do it anyway. And just recognizing that there's a part of you that will not be will not die and will not be sacrificed, because that's what people are afraid of. They'll lose something, whatever that something is. But if you take a chance, you are no worse off than you were before you did it. I mean, if you think about it, oh, well, I'm afraid to do this because I've never done it before, and I really want to have this particular career. Well, if you try it and you don't succeed and you don't have the career, you didn't have it to start with. So you haven't lost anything. So why not just do it anyway?
Right. Now, what about those who may be experiencing lack in their finances? You know, it really looks convincing to them. Oh, my gosh, this is it. I can't do anything about it. What would you say to someone in that mindset, especially around money?
That's a huge one. And I tell you, one of the things I've learned as a speaker is to really connect with the audience by your experience. So I always go to that, because if you don't have any experience, it doesn't come across as authentic when you share these principles and you talk about this stuff. So I always go back to myself. There have been times when I have felt that, absolutely. And I remember one particular time when I felt that, and it was given to me, and I just remembered hearing that supply is not just money. Because what we tend to do when we feel financially challenged is focus on money. But supply is not only that. So I was so caught up in it that something just told me, you know, your resource and supply is not just money. You have time, you have talent, you have other resources that you can tap into. And I was just guided to go be of service. And so I literally left the house and went to my spiritual center and did service, just showed up and did service. And it really shifted the way I looked at my reserves, because I understood money is not the only form of supply. I have time, I have talents that I need to share. And there's a law of circulation. So if you're so worried about not having resource all the time, then you're not giving, you're not circulating, you're not participating in the law. So there's no way that that resource can come back to you. You have to participate in it. You have to be a participant. That's what I learned. Consequently, when I came back from that particular event where I decided to go be of service, came home, I was feeling a lot better about my circumstance. And from that space, something said to me, you need to go back through your checkbook and just go through the numbers again. So I did, and I found that I had created the whole thing, that I actually did have enough money in my account, that I had just done the math incorrectly. But I was so caught up in that being true that I just couldn't see that I was making a mistake. And what I've learned is that's what the brain does under stress. That's what the body does. It releases a chemical called cortisol. And cortisol actually makes it harder for you to make decisions. It's a physiological response. So what I learned is you have to get out of that left brain thinking for a moment. You have to really tap into your gratitude. Look at what resources you do have. And then from that space of being grateful for what you do have, Then you can look over your situation and come up with creative solutions, whether it be bartering. There's so much bartering going on with people now because of the economy shift. People are getting more creative about how to use their resources. And there's so many different ways that it shows up if we're willing to look at it. But it begins with understanding that you have to participate in circulation. You have to participate. It means the talents and gifts that you have, you need to serve people. You need to show up. You need to circulate. And then watch as the universe responds to that. Watch as the universe responds to you seeing all the things you have to be grateful for, because there's so many things, you know. We'll look at finances and it'll color everything. And I was just speaking to a group this morning about that. If your finances aren't working out and that's the only area of your life that isn't, what about your health? What about the health of your family? What about your physical being? What about your spiritual life? What about your relationships? All those areas are sources of wealth too. But if we are having that one area that isn't going right, it just clouds everything. And we need to really come to understand that there are other sources of wealth besides money that we can tap into. It's very important for us.
Wow. I mean, there's just so much richness in that and so much value. And I hope the listeners, you know, can listen to this again and again when it becomes a recording. Thank you so much, Kim, for that. I received so many insights, and I loved your example of going back and looking through your checkbook and realizing, oh my gosh, you may not even have done that if you didn't have the time to step away and be of service. That's just amazing.
I totally believe that I would not have done it. I know that I would not have, because I would have been stuck in that lack mentality. And from that space, you can't really create any abundance. It's just not possible in that energetic space. So I'm so grateful that I followed, first of all, my insight and intuition to go out and be of service. Because a lot of times we have ideas and we just don't follow through on them. And so that takes a level of courage as well.
Absolutely. Somewhere I've heard, I don't know, maybe I've read it somewhere or someone has shared it with me, that service and lack just can't be in the same vibration.
Absolutely.
It just, they simply cannot be on that same wavelength. So if we want to shift out of one or the other, you know, very easy. You got it, service.
And I've heard the same thing about love and fear, and I think love can be a synonym with service, you know. If you're serving and you're coming from love, there's no way that your needs won't be met. They have to be. That's the law.
Amazing. So, listeners, just breathing that in. I'm breathing that in as well. So I want to go into a little bit more about becoming limitless. From your perspective, what role does consistency? I know a lot of people who are very, you know, successful in any way, not just financially, but emotionally, spiritually, all these ways. They're very consistent with that. So what role does consistency play for you and your perspective on that whole thing?
I think consistency can be important, but in thinking about consistency, I also have come to understand that if you're consistently doing something that's giving you feedback that it doesn't work, that you do have to change what you're doing. So, yes, being consistent is important, but you've got to base that consistency on feedback from the universe. So if the universe is telling you that what you're doing doesn't work, then you have to stop. Otherwise, you don't get to that feeling of or experience of limitlessness, because the universe is there to guide us. An example that I gave to people I spoke with this morning about stress is my experience of being laid off twice in a six-month period. And I went through that just a few years ago. And when I first got laid off, I kept trying to get a job back at the place where I'd been working and going through the same channels that I'd always used. And I just found those doors were closing. There just wasn't an opportunity or an opening there. And the universe was giving me clear feedback, this is not what you're supposed to be doing, this is not where you're supposed to be serving. But I kept trying to get my life back the way it was, and there just wasn't any going back. So when I started to get more creative and to really reach out to people in different avenues of my life and searching for new opportunities, those doors started to open. So the universe gives us really clear signals about what's working and what's not. And what we need to be consistent about is listening to the universe, what the universe is telling us, and following through on those intuitive urges and that guidance that we receive, rather than trying to do things consistently the old way when the old way doesn't work anymore.
You know, that's so interesting. A few years ago, I made a commitment to myself to whatever, going back to fear, whatever freaks me out or whatever I'm afraid of, do it. Step into it and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I made a commitment to myself to be consistent with pushing myself out of my comfort zone to actually become, you know, try new things, be able to adapt more with change. As a Taurus, you know, we tend to be very fixed signs. So knowing that, I said, okay, that's the quality that I choose to work on and move out of. So for me, I got that feedback. You know, I don't allow astrology to define who I am, but I use it as feedback to support me in becoming who I want to be.
Yes.
So for me, you know, I, that's the whole thing, is they have a tendency of being a little bit fixed and rigid. So being consistent and actually stepping out of my comfort zone has really allowed me to move into that becoming more limitless. Where has that sort of shown up in your experience, and would you like to share about that?
About consistency?
Yeah.
Specifically? You mm-hmm. know, one of the things that I do consistently is that I have started to really each day to give the day over to what I like to call the Holy Spirit. Some people call it God. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it nature or love. And just really deciding every day that, one, I'm giving the day over to the Holy Spirit, so whatever my highest good is going to be done that day. And two, deciding that when I go to work every day, whatever the work happens to be for the day, that I am absolutely being of service. That it's not about me going to work to get a check or showing up because I have to, but I'm showing up to be of service and to deliver my gifts and talents. That's my job, is to make deliveries every day. And I've been doing that for a couple years now, and there's such a big difference when I'm driving on the freeway in traffic and thinking that I'm going to make a delivery of my talents and gifts than it was when I was thinking, oh, I have to drive in traffic, I have to get to work by this time, I have to do this and I have to do that. Just thinking, wow, I get to make a special delivery every day and love up all these people I'm working with by giving them my gifts, my talents, and sharing with them. Isn't it wonderful that I get to do this, like, every day? And it makes such a big difference in how you show up, you know. Before I went to speak this morning, I sent love to that organization. I had never met these people. I sent love to those people, and I set an intention that love would greet me when I got there. And love was there because I sent it. And it was beautiful to walk into the space that I know consciously that I helped create, and then to reap the reward of that. And that reward was the feeling of connection when I talked to people. Just feeling the connection, you know. So I think it's really important to have certain rituals that you have within yourself that keep you grounded. And so those are mine, you know. One, I give this day over to the Holy Spirit. I know that my highest good is always done. And two, I'm going to deliver a gift and be of service. That's my job. That's my work. And it's holy. There's nothing unholy about that.
That's so amazing. Can you imagine those listening right now who are at a cubicle, you know, 9 to 5, really feeling stuck, turning it just slightly and have that perspective that wherever you are, whether you are a mail carrier or whether you're a teacher or whether you are, you know, in a desk job, you know, in a small little cubicle, that you can make it about service, and it completely transforms it. You actually realize that, wow, I'm being used as an instrument, and it doesn't become like I have to, but it becomes a, oh, I am choosing to.
Yes.
I'm creating. And even if that job is not necessarily meant for you long term, maybe there's going to be something else that comes through, the time that you're there is going to be so much more miraculous.
Wow. The listeners are like, speaking of which, a way to really overcome being in that position of feeling stuck and being in a position you don't like and you want to shift. Because I've been there. And yes. I can tell you what helped me. One of my favorite colors is pink. I found some pink line paper, and I put it in a binder. And I was working at a job that I enjoyed initially, but after a few years really just got sick of. To be honest with you, I just grew out of it. So what I would do between these classes that I was teaching is I would sit down with this pink paper, my favorite color, and I would literally write lists of things I was grateful for about being there, about the things that I did enjoy. So I would write down the people that I liked, the food in the cafeteria that tasted good to me. I mean, really simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that where I work was near the ocean and the air was clear. And I would just write all this stuff, not any of the stuff that bugged me, but the stuff that was good, you know, that surrounded mm-hmm. this experience. Pages and pages of things. And I tell you, that just made me feel so much better about being there. Because I just started to focus on what was good. And from that space of what was good, I eventually did make a transition out of that job. But while I stayed there, I made it as good as it could be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really focused on the things that I liked. And again, even if you hate your job, there are some things about the situation that you might enjoy. It could be as simple as your view out the window from that 26th floor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate this job, but man, that view is great. And so you focus on the view. Isn't it wonderful I get to work in a place where I have a view of the Hollywood sign? You know, whatever it is. And you just find all those positive things. And isn't it great I get to work with people who don't gossip and say negative things about each other? Isn't it great that I work in a place where there's someone who brings apples and healthy snacks to work every day and I get to eat them? Whatever is the wonderful thing. And I tell you, it makes a huge difference in how you show up for work and how you feel when you're there. And it makes the things you don't like as much a little more tolerable. Because you're looking out for things that you do like and people you do enjoy. And the focus on that just makes the things you enjoy expand, you know? So anybody who's out there who's stuck in a job, just try it. You don't have to let people know you're doing it. You could keep a little notebook in your pocket. Just start writing down things you appreciate about where you are. You know, even if it's, I get a paycheck at the end of the week. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what's amazing is I really like that, the color that you use, the pink, so that kind of represents something that really brings you joy, that makes you happy. And so when you think about, you know, on an unconscious level, whether you're aware of it or not, you are triggering joy while you're writing that the things that you're grateful for. So that's just brilliant. So I know we're almost out of time, but I did want to ask if you would be able to share an affirmation or a meditation with us, just a nice little, because I know you're really, really good at those, so that our listeners can experience some of your work.
Yes.
Can we go ahead and do that?
I would love to do that. And
Thank you.
Is a really brief one, and I decided on a name for it. I decided to call it My Cup Runneth Over. I just like that.
I like it too.
My Cup Runneth Over. So it's just a visioning process that I used with my gratitude students. And what we do is we just close our eyes and just make sure that our feet are firmly planted on the floor and our arms and legs are uncrossed. And just imagine that you have a cup. It's an average-sized cup, a coffee cup, any type of cup, and that you're holding it in your hand, and you're just standing near a table, and you put the cup on the table, and just imagine someone coming along with a pitcher of water and starting to pour the water into your cup. And just imagine it pouring down and down into the cup, and you can see the water rising in your cup. Until eventually you see it starting to spill over. So what it is you're trying to receive from the pitcher, the vehicle that you're trying to receive it in may be a little too small because the pitcher is much bigger than the cup. So I want you to just imagine taking away that cup, taking away that mug, whatever you pictured, and bringing in the largest cup you can imagine. You know, a freakishly large coffee cup, something that would take like two hands to pick up, something really, really big. And just imagine putting that on the table and imagine that it's magical and it's bottomless. And so just see someone coming up to you again with a pitcher to start to fill the cup. And they just pour it into your magical bottomless cup. And just notice that the bottom of the cup never fills up, that it's bottomless. So there is no bottom. There's nothing to it to keep it, to prevent it from receiving more. And just imagine that person walking away and coming back with another pitcher and another pitcher and continuing to just pour it into the cup. And the cup never fills up. It's able to receive more and more and more. And just imagine yourself just standing in gratitude for the ability to receive a limitless supply of whatever it is that you're imagining, whatever it is that you desire. Just imagine yourself being able to receive a limitless supply because the receptacle now is big enough. It's big enough to receive. And just know that that receptacle represents your consciousness, that first cup being a limited consciousness, a limited thinking around what's possible. But that second cup, the bottomless one, is your true potential. It's who you really are. You're this limitless being, and the universe is pouring this water, this good, into you all the time. And your ability to receive it depends on the largesse of your cup, of your consciousness. And so just decide now to be this unlimited consciousness, to be this bottomless cup. And how would your life look different if that were the consciousness that you carried all the time? Not the limited consciousness of the coffee cup, but the unlimited consciousness of this limitless, bottomless cup. How would your life be different? Just kind of breathe that in. What would be different in life if you carried this consciousness all the time? And so just be willing now, as you look at your life, to appreciate all the good that the universe has already brought you, and then move into a space of understanding and desiring and accepting and allowing the universe to give you even more. What would that look like if all your needs were met, everything you desired was there? What would be the feeling that accompanied that? Let's embody that feeling now. What is that feeling? It's expansive. It's beautiful. It's joyful. And there's so much gratitude in that feeling. And so just breathing in that gratitude, just begin to just wiggle your toes and bring yourself back to the body temple, to integrate all that you've imagined. And just know that even before your good shows up, the gratitude can show up and precede it. And consider that the gratitude for the good may be that energetic pull that you need in order to make that good manifest in your life. And so we gently open the eyes, and the affirmation that I use is, everything in my life is resolved to reveal more power, more presence, and more good.
Mm.
And so it is.
And so it is. Oh my goodness, that was such a treat. Kim, thank you so much for that. I'm feeling my cup has run over.
Yay.
and then it has, you know, it's flowing into all areas of my life, and I'm just receiving and receiving and saying yes to that. And thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm a visual person, so this is very, very powerful. Hopefully some of our listeners are feeling the same way. So where can we learn about you? Where can we learn more about your work, any upcoming events that you have, websites, all of that?
Great. Well, my website is www.kimestry, so my first name, Kim, KimEstryArts.com, or you can look me up on Facebook under Kim Mitchell, comma, international speaker. You can also find me on YouTube, and I have a TEDx talk on YouTube called Living the Limitless Life. So if you look me up, there is a famous Canadian singer named Kim Mitchell, so you may get some of his things first. But if you look me up on YouTube, just put in Living the Limitless Life, and you'll get me in my TEDx speech. It's about 6 minutes long. It's fairly brief, and it'll give you a little insight into why I do the work that I do and what makes me feel limitless. And please connect with me on Facebook. I love to make friends with people on Facebook and let them know of any upcoming events that I'm doing. And I'll be speaking in Ojai, California in April at the Dome at Soul-Centered Bookshop on April 7th. So I'm looking forward to that.
Woohoo! Well, Kim, such an honor to have you here. I adore you.
Thank you
for sharing your beauty, your love, your presence with us today. You are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. I appreciate being able to share with everyone, and it just feels so good to talk about these principles and really talk about how to anchor them in our lives. So I appreciate that opportunity to share.
Thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and just really being here with us and co-creating this miracle hour today. And we will connect in 2 weeks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.